on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Three quick tweets for you guys. Hashtag TYT live to talk to us when the show is live, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Michael Porter writes in, the GOP insists that the man's gun hoard is a constitutional right, but the health care and treatment of his victims is a privilege. Oh, that's a devastatingly good point. Actually, give Michael a t-shirt. That's a great, great point. You have a right to be shot, you don't have a right to be taken care of after you're shot. What kind of insanity is that? Okay, Brian Newton writes in, only the dumbest people want to maintain our gun laws as they exist now, or they benefit directly from it. And if you think, no, I'm not dumb, you know why? You're assuming, no, mass shootings aren't going to happen near me. I mean, I hope you're right, but statistically, you're not. And Control Left says, North Korea just did a missile test recently. Isn't it too soon to politicize the issue? GOP logic. Excellent point, excellent point. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. Every once in a while, Chris Wallace makes a lot of sense on Fox News, and he does a pretty decent job challenging someone that he's interviewing. Case in point, his recent interview with Nick Mulvaney, who is the White House budget director. Now, Mulvaney went on Fox News expecting to, you know, prop up their tax reform policy, but Chris Wallace actually challenged him pretty aggressively, and it was awesome. Now, it mostly had to do with the idea that the rich are not going to get a tax cut, which we all know that's a lie, and the idea that the growth in the economy will help pay for the tax cuts that some Americans will get. Now, Chris Wallace isn't buying it, and he had the data to prove it. Let's take a look at the first video.
The Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center did this analysis. It shows the middle fifth of households in America, those earning between $48,000-$86,000 a year, they'll get an average tax cut of $660 next year. Meanwhile, the top 1%, people making more than $730,000 a year, will get an average tax cut of almost $130,000 next year. Now, I understand that this isn't done yet, that they're only basing it on the plan as it exists at this point. But according to their analysis, that middle fifth gets 1.5% of the total benefit of the tax cut, while the top 1% gets 8.5% of the benefit. That doesn't seem fair.
Sure, a couple of different things, and I obviously can't see the graph that you just put up, but I think that I have seen it previous to this. And what I think that particular organization did was, number one, they didn't do any dynamic scoring. If you go look at the details of what they put out, they assumed no benefit to the overall economy, which is just absurd to think that there won't be any
economic benefit to the economy. I'm talking about the benefit to the individual family, the tax cut they get.
I got it, but let me go through. You can't look at the tax cut on a family until you realize how much better off they're going to be in a growing economy.
Okay, so let's break this down. First of all, even Chris Wallace's numbers don't do justice to the gross inequality that this tax cut presents. They made a terrible mistake here. Some politically, the Republicans did, some people making between $100,000 and $300,000 will actually have their taxes increased. Now, they're not huge donors, but those are very politically relevant folks. The top 10%, this is borne out by a Princeton study, are a huge driver in policy. There's a lot more of them that are in positions of power. They might not be at the very top of the power echelon, but saying, hey, I'm going to increase your taxes, but not the taxes of millionaires and billionaires. I'm going to lower their taxes. That is a terrible political idea, and that was not in the chart because some taxes do get raised. And so then, secondarily, the top richest people in the country are actually going to get tens of millions of dollars in personal income cuts, let alone the benefits they get from the corporate tax cuts, the estate tax cuts, etc., which will get into the billions of dollars for some families. So even Chris Wallace's devastating chart was not devastating enough.
Right.
And then he goes to Mulvaney, and Mulvaney's answer is like, dynamic scoring, it's gonna be dynamic. So if you've never heard of that, that it is the BS that Republicans use to say, yeah, it looks like we're giving a giant tax cut to the rich, and you're getting squat, right? But don't worry, that will magically improve the economy so much that you won't be making $300,000 anymore, or $30,000, or wherever your income bracket was. Instead of making $300,000, you'll not be making $3 million and then getting tax cuts. The economy does not work that way. That's a unicorn, that's magic, that's nonsense.
So whenever I see this type of content on Fox News, like it appears pretty shocking, right? Because this isn't the kind of stuff that you would experience watching Fox. You would usually see them cheerleading whatever it is that Trump wants to do. But then I realized the reason why this will play well, this segment will play well with Fox's audience, is because Fox's audience isn't made up of millionaires and billionaires. Fox's audience is made up of people who were sick and tired of the system that we had in place before electing Trump. A lot of these people elected Trump, unfortunately, because they thought that he would be a little different, that he would shake up the system and actually look out for working class and middle class Americans. Now we know that that's not what he actually wants to do, but Fox is aware that their audience are not in favor of giving the most powerful, the most wealthy people gigantic tax cuts. And they're also not buying the whole trickle-down economics thing. I'm sure some are, but I think most Americans know through this massive long-term case study that we've had that we don't get trickled on, okay? And it's also incredibly insulting for us to like sit around and hope that these big corporations, these big CEOs will trickle on us.
Yeah, and but there's an important part of that explanation, which is that but Fox News used to not tell you that and not tell their audience that, even though it would be a popular position even with their audience, as Anna rightly points out. It's because Roger Ailes used to run Fox News, and Roger Ailes is a Republican political operative. He worked for Nixon, Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and he helped George W. Bush as well. So he would lie to the audience over and over again and pretend the tax cuts for the rich would actually benefit them. Now that he's not there anymore, the Chris Wallace of the world, even though they're conservative, are free to go, wait a minute,
yeah,
here's something that doesn't actually help even our audience.
Right, and by the way, credit where credit is due, because Chris Wallace is wealthy. I mean, he's a host on Fox News. I'm sure that, you know, he will benefit from these massive tax cuts. And the fact that he challenged Mulvaney is something that, you know, deserves credit. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Agreed.
All right, let's go to the next video. There's more of this.
It's impossible to do what the National Tax Center just did. So my guess is, and I think that's the one that Jared Bernstein works for, it's not surprising that a former chief economist for a Democrat vice president doesn't like a Republican tax plan. So I don't put very much weight on that
particular study. It's a nonpartisan group, first of all, sir.
Okay, now they did math. Okay, I know that you have got a war on math. So their point is that, look, and could tax cuts stimulate the economy a little bit? Historically, they have not, as Chris Wallace is going to get into. So they're usually counterproductive when taxes are in fact this low for the rich, and they are. Especially when you put the loopholes in, they are at historically low rates. As a percentage of the taxes paid by the different brackets in America, historic lows. And when you cut taxes further, it's counterproductive. But even if it were to actually stimulate the economy, it would only do so by a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Not by the gigantic factor that the Trump administration is putting. And the reason they do that is because they want to fudge the numbers. They're like, well, under this plan, we're never going to balance the budget. Mm-hmm. And because they don't care about balancing the budget, they just want to get the tax cuts to the rich. But they have to pretend to balance the budget for a number of reasons, including being able to pass it with just 50 votes instead of 60 votes. So it is super important to them to keep up that lie. And here's Chris Wallace breaking that lie apart. And I think the next clip is even better. So let's watch that.
The Senate Republican budget plan calls for a tax cut that is going to cost the Treasury $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years. And some outside experts say that the plan that was unveiled this week actually will add $2 trillion to the debt over the next 10 years. Now, back when you were in Congress, you were a deficit hawk. What happened, sir?
Let's talk about it, because I've been very candid about this. We need to have new deficits because of that. We need to have the growth, Chris. If we simply look at this as being deficit neutral, you're never going to get the type of tax reform and tax reductions that you need to get to sustained 3% economic growth. If we had been at 3% growth over the last 10 years, the budget very nearly would be balanced this year. That's how big a difference it makes when you grow the American economy, that additional 1% over 10 years. Over the next 10 years, years. If we can grow at 3% instead of the 1.8% that the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says that we're going to grow at and has been the average under the previous administration, if we can get to that 3%, it is $2 to $2.5 trillion worth of more government revenues. It's 12 million additional jobs, and those are 12 million jobs paying into Medicare, 12 million jobs paying into Social Security. Growth really is what's driving all of this, and growth is what our focus is, which is why we're willing to accept increased short-term deficits in exchange for that long-term payoff. Growth works. Doing in the administration to spur growth in terms of regulatory reform work, and what we're working on right now is to make sure that those tax cuts add to that.
Okay, so Obama, actually let's go back further. Clinton hands George W. Bush a surplus. Mm-hmm. Bush turns that into a $1.2 trillion deficit, okay? He hands that off to Obama. Obama cuts it in half, but the entire time that he's cutting the deficit, Nick Mulvaney is in Congress screaming, that was what Chris Wallace was referring to, mm-hmm. about we can't have any deficits, I can't believe Obama has deficits. Forgetting the fact that Bush handed him a $1.2 trillion deficit. Uh-huh. Okay, but he has deficits, right? Now, you just heard him right there. He said, we need to have new deficits. Now that the Republicans are back in charge, deficits are wonderful. They grow the economy. Of course they're great. But this is actually part of a plan hatched by the Republicans under Nixon when Ailes was in the Nixon administration. And there are internal memos about it where they say, hey, let us, whenever we're in charge, let's spend a lot more money, let's cut taxes so we can stimulate the economy. Mm-hmm. In their mind, to be fair to them, they thought stimulating the economy, cutting taxes would stimulate the economy, and they thought spending more stimulates the economy. So let's do it when the Republicans are in charge. But as soon as the Democrats gets in charge, make sure we yell and scream about deficits so they make the mistake of not stimulating the economy, mm-hmm. and then we'll blame them for a poor economy. Yeah. They've been playing this, and he just did it. The guy who was the biggest deficit hawk in Congress said, we need new deficits.
I know, it's amazing. I feel like every time you say the word deficits, though, you have to do that hand gesture that you do. Deficits.
Deficits. I didn't even realize
you,
I was
you
doing
always
that's
do that.
Awesome. Deficits. All right, I want to give Chris Wallace one more piece of credit here. And always credit where credit is due, no matter what has happened in the past. He pointed out later in the segment that Reagan tax cut back in 1981 that the Republicans love to crow about actually added $208 billion to the deficit. It did. The dynamic scoring did not help with that deficit. It made it worse. And the Bush tax cuts in 2001 and 2003 added $1.5 trillion to our debt.
Yeah.
It did not work. Dynamic scoring is total horse crap. And the reality is, all it does is give tax cuts to the rich and settle us with huge deficits and debt.
Right, and I just want to reiterate, because this has been said on previous videos in regard to this tax reform story, tax cut story. No, it's not going to grow the economy. They're not going to create new jobs. We know through these calls that these CEOs have with their investors that they do not create new jobs with these tax cuts. They use it to buy shares of stock in their own company. They use it for acquisitions. Acquisitions mean that they merge with other companies. And guess what they do? They actually lay a ton of people off. So they don't create new jobs, and there have been numerous examples of that. In fact, the issue of possible monopolies in the country is a really big problem right now, and this would only add to it. They're not interested in hiring more people. They're interested in buying other companies, buying their competition, and laying off as many people as possible. That's the way it usually works out. All right.
Okay, cool. One more story?
Yeah.
In this segment.
Yes. I'm going to go back to North Korea very quickly because I think this is a relevant story. All right. Donald Trump has had some very, very strong statements in regard to other countries, China in particular, that help aid North Korea in any way. Any country that does business with them or trade with them, Donald Trump said that there would be consequences for. Now, I'm curious to see what Trump's reaction will be to the fact that Russia is now supplying the dictatorial regime in North Korea with internet. Now, just to give you some details on this, it has now been reported that Russian state-owned company Trans Telecom has provided a new internet connection to Kim Jong-un's regime. Previously, North Korean internet was funneled through one Seoul link provided by Chinese telecommunications firm China Unicom. But Trans Telecom said in a brief statement to CNN that it has telecommunications links with North Korea under a deal it signed in 2009. Now, we're just learning about this now from cybersecurity experts. And as you can see, the Russian government is confirming that they are providing internet to North Korea. They don't want to elaborate on this any further. They're not elaborating on the terms of this deal, but we do know that now North Korea is receiving some internet connection through a Russian government-owned telecommunications company.
So from Russia's perspective, this is actually very logical. Let's be fair. So they get two things from this. Number one, now they have power in North Korea. So even if we convince the Chinese to cut off the internet for the North Koreans, well, the Russians can then step in and provide the internet and go, now I've got leverage. So I would also like to be bribed in order to help the rest of the world contain the madman in North Korea. So if China's gonna get some trade deals in return for helping with North Korea, I want better trade deals and et cetera. So number two, you think they interfered in our elections? They're going to spy in on every single thing that's going through that internet in North Korea. So I don't know how stupid the North Korean leadership is. I don't know if they'll put stuff that's relevant to their secrets on there, but I guarantee you that Russia will be able to see whatever's in those pipes. So it's a win-win for them. For us, not very helpful, because now we have to appease both China and Russia in order to further isolate North Korea when they do their latest insane nuclear test and endanger the world. They fired a missile over Japan. Their tech is not that great. It easily could have landed in Japan. They're also doing nuclear testing. Now they're thinking of doing nuclear testing above ground, which hasn't happened in 37 years. And they're even threatening to do testing where they have a nuke on a missile, which they fire over other places. So now, as things stood yesterday, as far as we knew, we pressure China and they can get lose access to the world, which would be devastating to them. Now there's another player, Russia there might protect North Korea. Yeah. And Anna, I hadn't thought of it the way you said it. That is such a great point. So look, Trump claims that he's gonna be tough on anyone doing any deals with North Korea. We're waiting, big guy. Hey, look, you can prove yourself to be the tough guy that you always claim to be. Mm-hmm. But my guess is when it comes to Black NFL players, you'll be tough all day long. When it comes to Puerto Ricans suffering from the hurricane, you'll say that they're too lazy to take care of themselves. You'll attack any victim, you'll attack any person who doesn't have any degree of power. And sometimes you'll attack powerful folks too. But the one guy you will never criticize is your boss, Vladimir Putin. Look, he can prove us wrong. He can come out and be like, Putin is a baby. What he did, the deal he did with Little Rocket Man is sad and pathetic. Go for it, big guy. Why don't you do it? You do it to everyone else. I mean, don't tell me it's for diplomacy. You don't believe in diplomacy.
I mean, he was willing to undercut his own Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, for having talks with North Korea to de-escalate the situation. He was willing to undercut his own Secretary of State. So I'm very curious to see.
Another great point by Anna. He's willing to undercut his own Secretary of State for even talking. But now the Russians have a deal. An economic deal with the North Koreans. Have at it, Hoss, prove me wrong. He can do it anytime, but he won't because he's Putin's bitch. Okay? Maybe his bottom bitch. I don't know. I don't want to get into the details of that. Okay? But he cannot criticize Putin. Putin owns him. And you will see, he will not criticize Putin for this.
We'll see. Okay. All right, we got to take one last break. When we come back, updates on the situation in Puerto Rico.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Brandon Smith and Margaret Yonko Haynes are our members of the day. Thank you guys. You make the show possible. TYTnetwork.com/join support independent media. Obviously, we're covering the stories a little bit different than the mainstream media, as you all know. All right, some tweets for you guys real quick. CompuFox says, oh hell, I need another scotch. Sandra O says, GOP, math is hard, let's go shopping. That's about right. Laura Gilizunas says, ask the good people of Kansas about trickle-down economics. They are in crises. Ruth Iverson says, the only thing that trickles down is when your upstairs neighbor's toilet is leaking. Think about how offensive even the term trickle-down economics
is. I know, it's super offensive.
No, don't worry, we're going to have the rich trickle all over you. Are we not merciful? Holdcraft says, what a show tonight, huh? This is why I'm a TYT addict, also because of our community. We are awesome. Not even a millennial, I'm 51. Thank you, appreciate it. We'll talk a little bit more, of course, as we always do in the post game. It's such a heavy news day. I'm gonna lighten it up in the post game, do some cutesy stories about the kids and stuff. So tytnetwork.com/join to join us. And by the way, I can't wait to see Jimmy Dore with Aggressive Progressive later in the week. He's gonna be quite animated, to say the least. That's also part of the benefits of membership. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. This past weekend did not look good for Donald Trump when it comes to his response in providing relief to those in Puerto Rico who are still suffering without food, without water, without electricity. Now, since he's been criticized, he has decided to kind of double down on some of his more questionable statements, and he did so on Twitter. Let's go to his tweets. First tweet said, such poor leadership ability by the mayor of San Juan and others in Puerto Rico who are not able to get their workers to help. They want everything to be done for them when it should be a community effort. 10,000 federal workers now on island doing a fantastic job. Which is really interesting because you have the lawmakers and the politicians in Puerto Rico sharing a completely different story compared to what Trump is saying. Trump is very self-congratulatory. He's talking about how great the efforts are, how they're providing a great deal of relief and how everyone should be happy. And by the way, the audacity of someone who lives in the lap of luxury, literally has everyone else doing everything for him, pointing a finger at victims in Puerto Rico and saying they want everything done for them. Yeah. While you're shitting in your golden toilet, how about you reconsider the way that you're treating American citizens that are currently hungry, without power, and struggling to find clean, safe drinking water?
Donald Trump has had everything in the world handed to him. He had $200 million inheritance handed to him by his dad. He went bankrupt 6 different times, almost every time his daddy bailed him out. And the nerve of him to say that. And why does he say it? It's because he doesn't even have any idea how racist he actually is. He thinks Puerto Ricans, they won't work. Yeah. What do you mean? First of all, you have no evidence of that. Second of all, there's no power. There's no gas. They can't get to one another. That's why we go to help people in Florida, Houston, Puerto Rico when they're devastated by this. And no place is more devastated than Puerto Rico. But what do? You blame them and you go, oh, they won't work. So I don't think that he consciously thinks, I don't like Puerto Ricans. I'm gonna blame them because I think they're lazy. He just says it like, oh yeah, they won't show up. They can't get them to do anything, even though with no evidence at all. It's because that's who he is. He's been racist his whole life.
Yeah.
And while he's golfing, to blame people who have no power because he didn't send them help. There's a ship that we normally send to help in exactly these situations. He sent it 9 days too late. And he's talking about how they won't help.
Yeah, and also keep in mind that he's willing to allocate $700 billion to our defense budget, which would indicate that we have top of the line defense, we have top of the line military that can swoop in or should be able to swoop in whenever this type of disaster occurs. And keep in mind, these types of disasters with this type of severity are likely to occur more and more often. Okay, storms have always existed, no one's denying that, but the severity is certainly something that's relatively new considering what we've done to our planet. So you can expect stuff like this to happen all the time, and if this is the reaction that we're gonna have, this weird, unequal reaction that we're gonna have from the president, well then it's a cause for concern. Now, we gave credit where credit was due. We gave him credit when it came to the response in Houston. And you know, when there was a little bit of criticism because of where he landed in Texas when he visited the state after the storm, we defended him on that. But in this case, no, he lacks leadership, and he shows that he is completely indifferent to the people. Not indifferent, I think even further than that. He's been critical of people in Puerto Rico, and he's criticized their electric grid, he's criticized all sorts of things. And it's just not what a leader does. If there are logistical issues there, then you can communicate that without insulting an island full of American citizens.
And by the way, every general in Puerto Rico is saying, we don't have enough here. We need more help and it needs to be sent right away. The general who's in charge of Hurricane Katrina cleanup is in Puerto Rico now. When they asked him about Trump's comments, he said, the mayor of San Juan is sleeping on a cot, working around the clock. Donald Trump is golfing. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, speaking of golf, Trump spoke at the Liberty National Golf Course in Jersey City, New Jersey. And even though his relief efforts have been questionable, he will present the people of Puerto Rico with a golden trophy. Take a look.
If you look today and you see what's happening, how horrible it is, but we have it under really great control. Puerto Rico and the people of Florida who have really suffered over this last short period of time with the hurricanes, I want to just remember them, and we're going to dedicate this trophy to all of those people that have been through so much, that we love, a part of our great state, really a part of our great nation.
Yeah, you heard someone in the audience say you don't give a shit about Puerto Rico. And that is the message that he's been sending.
I'm not sure Joffrey would have been stupid enough to give a golden trophy to the victims of a hurricane. I mean, you want to talk about detached from reality. No one's ever been more detached.
You know how millennials get criticism for trophies? You know how Trump supporters criticize millennials for expecting trophies for everything? Well, here's your president presenting people who are suffering from a severe storm a trophy, because that's going to make everything better.
Power is knocked out for 95% of Puerto Rico. Every day it's getting worse. The mayor of San Juan said this could turn into a genocide. Super strong language. The generals on the ground are saying, send more help right now. They need water, they need gas. They need to be able to open the store so that people can get more supplies. There's 1,000 things that they need. On that list of 1,000 things they need is not a golf trophy. That's not going to be remotely helpful. But just think about how stupid he is, that he can't see that would be seen as callous. What? I'm golfing, and this guy, oh, we got a nice golf trophy here. Oh, are you guys suffering? And you don't know whether your loved one is dead or not because you can't communicate to them, mm-hmm. and you can't get to them because the roads are shut down? Hey, that's all right, I'll give you a golf trophy. Let them eat bread.
It's devastating.
Cake.
Yeah, I was like, oh, is there like a reason you said bread?
Maybe. But you know what? That's the kind of mistake Trump would make.
Yeah. All right, we have 3 minutes, but I want to get to one other angle to this Puerto Rico story that I think is important. All right. News organization Axios managed to obtain a leaked memo that was written by Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bossert in regard to the Trump administration's relief efforts toward Puerto Rico. And it was interesting because, of course, Bossert, who shouldn't really be interested in messaging and marketing for the Trump administration, again, he's a Homeland Security advisor, is drawing out what the publicity should be like, or what the messaging should be like coming from Trump officials. Now, here's what he wrote in his leaked memo. The storm caused these problems, meaning Hurricane Maria, not our response to it. We have pushed about as much stuff and people through a tiny hole in as short a time frame as possible. I recommend that today and tomorrow we use the general theme of supporting the governor and standing with the people of Puerto Rico to get them food, water, shelter, and emergency medical care. He also wrote that Monday and Tuesday we can pivot, hopefully, to a theme of stabilizing as we address temporary housing and sustaining the flow of commodities and basic government services, including temporary power. Now, he goes on, but it is interesting because they are trying to draw the narrative. They are trying to make sure that every official within the Trump administration is putting out the exact same message about our efforts are awesome, everyone's happy, we're doing exactly what we need to do. But again, their messaging conflicts with what we're hearing from politicians and people in Puerto Rico currently.
So, for him to coordinate the message, I don't think is that bad. And the things that Anna read are not crazy. They're not anywhere near Trump crazy. there might be fairly normal ways to coordinate how you get the word out and what you're telling people you're going to do next, which they didn't need to know. But he also talked about doing planned hits on TV, tweets, TV bookings, and other works. And so, and by hits, they don't necessarily mean a hit job. They might mean just an appearance on television. But then, as you notice there, they said, let's focus on the governor, praising the governor. They then went out and actually did a hit job on the San Juan mayor. They sent several officials out to call her a far left radical. That's because she has barely criticized Donald Trump. So
how dare she?
When you have the guy in charge of helping to make sure that people recover, organizing political response to the president's enemies, including the person who's there to help, that is not at all helpful. Okay, guys. TYTnetwork.com/join for the postgame. Bye-bye.